All right. Hey, everybody.
All right.
Lovely to see you all. Not that we can see you, but thank you for tuning in to us. My name is Michael Cucarini. This is the Sports and Comedy Attack on EnlightenRadio.org, which happens to be controlled by that gentleman that you're looking at on the screen, but you can't see him. You can hear his voice. The other, voice in this is John Case. He is the original creator of EnlightenRadio.org and the original Dusty Flip Philosopher, and we thank him for that. All things EnlightenRadio.org. It's good to be back. We've been off the air for a couple weeks now, and we're back, and lots happened. As I told John, we were looking at the Chicago Bears game, and I had said to John, you know, Tyson Bagent, who's from this area, went to Shepherd, played phenomenal, broke almost every record in the NCAA, was the backup quarterback in Chicago, is now the starting quarterback in Chicago because their starting quarterback, Justin Fields, happens to be injured. And I kind of half-assed predicted that. So I wasn't emphatic about it, but I said it could happen, and it did. But I'll tell you this, Bagent was phenomenal, and it's going to be difficult. He's going to have to give, like, somebody out there is going to be thinking, you know what? I need a really good quality backup quarterback. How much do you want?
Yep.
So congratulations to the Bagent family. Way to go. Good work. As I live and breathe, the Washington Commanders, if it's possible, are one of the worst teams in the NFL. One of the defensive linemen said this: "I am sick and tired of the. I'm sick of it. It's been 7 years of this. Get me. 7 years. Sick of it, man. Sick of it."
Who's this?
One of their defensive linemen was pissed off. You know, and I'm watching this pathetic. These guys went out and got these offensive linemen specifically so this shit wouldn't happen. They're offside. They're holding. They don't know the play. They got their ass kicked again by a team who's won one game. One. They didn't score a touchdown. The team they were playing, the New York Giants, haven't scored a touchdown in 36 quarters.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about the Commanders or the Giants?
No, the Commanders and the Giants, because the Commanders played the Giants and they got their ass kicked.
Well, there's a time for that. You know,
I told my wife, I said, the Commanders are making our onions cry, and we don't even have any onions.
There is a season. I'm just so unhappy.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. And I think, honestly, I will tell you, I believe Ron Rivera has lost his football team. And when a coach loses the team,
right,
that's it. They're not going to perform for him.
You know, this is especially true when you're on a boat in the middle of a lake.
How did we go from Ron Rivera being fired to a boat on a lake? That's like going, like, you're living in a van down by the river eating government cheese.
I've been through trauma. Haven't you? I mean, yes. This 2 months, years, I feel traumatized. And so I can't, you know, what about victims of mental health problems who are stigmatized, you know,
in the absolute fried apple fuck are we talking about here, John? What the fuck are we talking about?
On a play for the Commanders.
God damn. No, I turned it off. I was texting with JB. I was having fun. I texted JB and I'm like, wow, these guys are really big. JB's like, yep. No, you wait. They're going to come back in the second half. Now, they tried. I don't know if that says more about how bad the Giants are than what potential the Commanders have. Their quarterback, I keep telling you, he's not that bad. He had one shitty pass that was an interception. But if I was running for my life every goddamn play.
Yep.
I just, again, I will continue to quote Coach McKay when they enticed him to come from California to coach the expansion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He said, well, we couldn't block anybody, but we made up for it by not tackling anybody. So congratulations, Commanders. Your two linebackers suck. Your one linebacker, who was the human tackling machine, is gone for the rest of the year.
Hey, let me ask you a question, though. Is this something that could be interpreted as the revenge of the Lerner family on what came after? Or is it
no, this has nothing to do with Lerner.
Okay, okay, all right.
Now, the Caps have been in two overtime games so far out of the six games into this. I think we're five or six games in the hockey season. They've pushed two games to overtime, lost. They split it. They lost one and won the other one. So I don't know where they're at tonight. I think they're playing tomorrow or tonight. I'll check. Hold on. This is happening in real time. This is happening in real time. This is happening in real time. Tomorrow they are playing the Maple Leafs, Toronto Maple Leafs at home in DC at 6 tomorrow.
Wow. Okay.
Puck drops at 6. So we'll see. I don't know. The thing that was interesting this weekend is watching Alabama give up so much in the first half and then watching them in the second half and going, oh, shit, that's right. This team is really good. It's like Saban took him into halftime and said,
you think that's all it took, huh?
And then they came out and said, oh, we're actually better than you. And they smacked Tennessee in the face. They just went,
oh,
so they came roaring back and won. Let's see. Congratulations to the Las Vegas Aces for being the first team in a long, long time to repeat as champions in the WNBA. Congratulations, ladies. Well done.
Now, what is that? Is that a baseball team? The Aces.
WNBA.
Oh, this is
the Women's National Basketball Association.
Right. Okay.
Las Vegas Aces.
What do they get paid? What is a?
Let me explain something. Well, some of them get paid pretty well now. Okay. Not enough. Not enough. It's still not enough.
Is there ever enough?
But you know what? It's a very exciting product, and a lot of people are finding that out. That these ladies can play at a high level, man. They are awesome. They're freaking awesome.
It's a good game to watch. I watched the
man. It's fun.
Basketball game. It is a good game.
Oh, man, they're so good. Oh, yeah. And also, John, some breaking news on the Olympics. This is my impression of breaking news. The Olympics has accepted flag football as a sport in the summer games in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Coming up in 2028, I think.
I prefer the going the other direction toward armed football rather than flag football. I want to see the Roman Colosseum come back. Because I think our people need a serious, serious distraction. From,
like,
you know.
And, you see it all. Are you not entertained?
Get the train.
Are you not entertained?
Yes, exactly. We have to get people attuned to just, you know, slaughter on a daily basis.
Bring the gladiators out. Hold. Release the tiger.
Well, I'm just giving you there's flag football, and then there's where we could go in the other direction.
Well, you know, it's football is actually a lot more complicated than a lot of people want to think it is, But it's not nearly as complicated as someone would have you believe. You know, it still has the basics like regular football. Blocking and tackling are really important. So, and congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles for stomping the shit out of the Miami Dolphins and putting that to rest. They had two quarterbacks who played on the same Dolphins.
Do you think they had given back?
Can I finish? Stop interrupting me.
I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm laughing because I interrupt you all the time.
I just can't. There was something in my voice saying Spain, Florida. Go back to Spain, Florida. Back.
I hate
the Miami Dolphins. I just can't stand them.
I know. My nephew, for some odd reason, Tommy, my brother Tom's Tom, is a huge Miami Dolphins fan. He just liked the colors when he was a kid.
Well, they're winners. I mean, they are winners. So
they're the only team in the National Football League that has an undefeated season in the modern era. The 72 Dolphins were 12-0. Actually, total was 14-0. So there's that.
I always associate them and Dallas with powerful, always, you know, good teams, solid teams, well, so much of the time, and also a culture that should be expelled from the
to an extent in the past. I don't think that culture exists today.
All right. Okay.
I think that culture's way, way gone. I think these guys are 24/7, 365. They have to work out all the time. They have to watch their diet. They have to stay in great shape. You know, the average lifespan of an NFL football player is 4 years. That's it.
You mean work life span?
Yeah, work life is average. The average is 4 years.
When you said 4 years, I thought we were already into the gladiator phase. Okay. We have to kill a third of the team every year or they will not be entertained.
Say, what's your name? My name is Gladiator.
All right. Okay.
What is it? What did he say? Meridius. I am the father of a slain son, the husband of a slain wife, and I shall have my revenge in this life or the next. That was way back when Russell Crowe was in great shape before he started looking like me. It's like, Russell Crowe needs a body double. Hey, call that fat guy in West Virginia. Get him on.
Well, I like Russell's movies. I can't, you know, almost all of them.
Yeah, so do I.
He has a certain,
I like him a lot.
He really has a lot of character he adds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of presence.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's about, you know, because I watched The Bear. That streaming show I watched, it's called The Bear. It's about a chef. Oh. But it's more about a family. And I didn't know, but Jamie Lee Curtis was in it and played the kind of almost crazy mom. Man, if you want a school in acting, just watch her performance in The Bear. I'm watching. I was mesmerized. I was like, wow, this lady is like next level actress. She's a genius, man. She's really good. And Bob Odenkirk is in it too. The guy from Better Call Saul.
Have you seen, by the way, the new Equalizer?
What?
The new Equalizer, Denzel.
I have not seen the third one, no, but I heard it was really good.
Well, I'll tell you what's really good about it is that guy can change the entire mood of a scene with just a gesture in a way he says things. It does.
Amazing. It's true.
It's such a gift, you know?
And, yeah. Well, I think he's good at that, but I also think Liam Neeson is good at that too.
Yes. Yes. Very
good. At least Liam Neeson's your age, dude. He's about your age and he's doing freaking action movies. Okay.
Yeah, right. And, he's got a real presence. You're right. But Denzel, I mean, he goes.
I love that guy. I love that guy.
And
King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Like some thug, you know, threatens him, and he just gives this wonderful smile, and he says,
"Really?" Then he sets his watch. Remember, it's always.
And then he says,
"Oh, can you excuse me?
Are you prepared?
Are you prepared?
What? Are you threatening me?
The first thing I'm going to do.
Are you prepared?
The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take my thumb. I'm going to jam it in your throat. You will begin to choke, and then your larynx is going to be sore. Because after I hit it with my thumb, I'm going to come back and I'm going to chop it on the side. I'm not going to kill you, but you're not going to be able to breathe real well. So that's one. The guy, two guys behind me, I'm going to take the gun that you have and I'm going to kill both of them. See, the problem is when I get you down on the ground and you're dying and I'm holding you, they're going to shoot at me and I'm going to hold you up as the human shield. So there you go. What? And he does it. He just goes and everything he just said. He did it. Not only does he do it, he does it in 12 seconds. Something like that. I don't know.
I know.
So we've got our sports now. I will say I'm very excited too. I took a shot. I think I may have said this before, but I believe sometime in November, I can't find the exact date, but I'll send it to you. In November, you and I, and you better be on your best behavior, pal, are going to be probably interviewing one of, I think, if not the funniest females I've ever seen, certainly up there in the top five. Carol Montgomery has agreed to be interviewed for the comedy interview, and I couldn't be more excited about that. She is the catalyst and I think creator of women of a certain age touring stand-up. So Julia Scotti, all these brilliant female comics, and I'm just left mesmerized by how well that they've done. And I think she's on her fourth Showtime special with women of a certain age.
I like that.
If you get a chance, you should check it out. You should check out some of the specials.
I'll do it before, so I don't have to.
She's had Thea Vidal. She's had these brilliant female stand-ups that are just so good.
You know, this morning I said something really stupid to my wife, and she says, "Are you being a dork just because you want more attention?" And I said, "Yes, yes, that's true."
Never underestimate John's capacity to sound stupid just so somebody pays attention to it. I stood up in a vegetarian restaurant and said, "I want gravy now." They didn't make any. They brought me coconut soup.
Yeah, right.
I said, "This is not gravy." I don't even know where that came from. I don't even know what I'm doing.
You've described exactly how I've.
Well, folks, if you're watching this or listening to this, you probably have now gotten a pretty good idea that we have no fucking idea what we're talking about ever. There's no facts. There's no specifics. We're just blah, 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 blah. So it's fun for us.
Actually, sometimes you may not know it, but when you sign up and listen to our podcast, you're participating in a thing that used to be called the Moose Turd Cafe.
Cafe, yeah. You poor bastards out there. Why
I think
you
we're
that?
In tune with where the whole country is going. I really do. And we're you know, hey, we're not fighting the stream. We're right in the middle of it. You can tell me where it's going. Okay. So far, so good.
People wonder why I'm a hermit and I stay home. I'm not going out there. Bad stuff happens when you go out there. Bad stuff.
Now, okay, but I'm calling you now. As you can see beside me, the water is... I just landed my boat here for a few minutes to talk to you. I'll be headed out to the ocean again in a minute. Because
John and his, he just can't get enough of Waterworld. He just can't get enough of it.
I really liked Kevin Costner and his little gills in that. That was cute. It really was.
Well, you know what? Actually, I didn't mind the movie. A lot of people hated it. I thought it was okay. Just okay. I didn't think it was great. It's too long. But it was pretty good. I thought he was pretty good.
You know, he kept talking. Do a masterpieces, and I guess he did one. I thought Dances with Wolves was a masterpiece, okay, in a lot of ways.
Well, it's for sure Robin Hood was not. Impressionist. An impressionist that really helped me when I first started, Butch Burns from DC, had a great bit about that. He goes, you notice how Kevin Costner sounds pretty much in Robin Hood like a surfer guy until he says his name? Hood. Okay, man, listen up, because I have an excellent plan, okay? I, Robin of Locksley, think that way should just go ahead and steal from the rich and give to the poor, okay? And it does, if you go back and listen to it, he does not have the accent.
I thought Russell Crowe did a much better job.
Oh, is Robin Hood?
Oh, yeah, much better, yeah.
I think that was really definitive too.
You know, he added a certain, he added his thing to it, you know, his gladiator.
Well, he's also excellent with the sword and he's also an excellent archer. He can fire a bow and arrow big time.
Oh, he is. He's a sports.
He trains for that kind of stuff. If you're going to do that movie, you're going to tell him you're going to be Robin Hood. He becomes Robin Hood.
Right. He's a method actor. Yeah, right.
But I would just take away the voice thing for Costner. Costner was good for what Costner does.
Right.
You know, probably wasn't the best casting. You know, so.
I don't think it worked in Robin Hood. Did Morgan Freeman play with him in that, though?
Morgan Freeman was the most compelling part of the whole movie.
Yeah, right. He was good. He was good. Yeah, right.
So,
one of the fellows that played with Russell Crowe, though, is the leader of the Great Big Sea Band.
Okay.
It's a Canadian national folk band. I think they've, when the Queen wants to hear folk music, they call those guys, you know, although 5 years ago. But anyway,
only John Case would know that, people.
Russell Crowe. Oh, well, Carol's a huge fan, and my kids are huge fans of the band. They're wonderful. But with one of the concerts, guess who came on to sing? You know,
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, because
he has a band in Australia.
He
tours around in Australia with. He's been playing with that band for 20 years.
And so. You know, anyway, they and of course, in the Russell Crowe version of Robin Hood, there is credible singing of songs that goes on.
Yes.
You know.
So I'm trying to remember who played Friar Tuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't remember the name of the actor.
But he was a badass Friar Tuck, too.
He was.
I think it might have been the guy from the news show that they used to do on HBO that was like the catalyst to the beginning of the Daily Show.
And who played the Little John character?
Asking me all kinds of questions. I can't remember.
Well, and then everything ultimately, doesn't it, at least from my generation, get compared to Errol Flynn, right?
I don't think it does with the younger American public, but I think it does with people of our age and our demographic. We're just kind of, because we saw the Errol Flynn thing up, and I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was, you know, very entertaining. Yeah,
I was a kid.
Exactly, me too.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, wow, man, I want to learn to shoot it bow and arrow and get a sword.
My mother did not approve of Errol Flynn. I want you to tell.
Oh my God.
He had loose morals.
One made from that good old maw fiber that John and I keep alluding to as our good former governor come to Papi O'Daniel. And if you're making some biscuits, you want to get down to your Papi O'Daniel place and get you some good flour. Make them good biscuits.
Well, my mother went off on that. My dad would wait a while after she ranted on about it and said, well, honey, he is not the only one.
Well,
he was maybe more sanguine about Hollywood back then. Who knows?
Well, you know,
my mom was a girl from West Virginia, right? You know, went to art school and then got a job during the war working in D.C. and for George Marshall, who turned the world around.
I'm all about still thinking about Carol and Montgomery, and just really, really just jacked that she said she would do it. So very excited about that, John.
Let me ask you another question about sports, okay?
Okay.
College sports.
Okay. Yep.
And the role that they play or have played in financing or at bringing additional money into primarily state universities, I'm thinking of right now anyway, where they have big football club games, big, what do they call their graduate associations, alumni associations, that they big time encourage to contribute money, and the football team is always a big benefactor, you know, of some of those things, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, but then it's turned football on the college campuses into something more than athletics, way more than athletics. And I
especially with the laws changing on the nil for the identity and licensing for each college player, because you know it doesn't just isolate itself to football. There are some college athletes. There's one in particular at LSU, Olivia Dunn, who is a model for a whole lifestyle brand in terms of clothing. She modeled this clothing, and she continues to do that, and she's very well compensated. So her, and then there's the gentleman who plays quarterback for the USC Trojans who won the Heisman last year. I've seen that kid in like four or five different commercials.
So he's already regular.
He's still in college, but he's getting huge sponsorship deals.
I remember the first upheaval at the college that I was at in state of New York, SUNY at Buffalo. One of the big issues was athletic scholarship students, African-American primarily, were not able to change their major from athletics to something else. Or they would lose their scholarship, which means couldn't go to school. You know, they couldn't afford it.
Right. They'd kick them out of school. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was one of the early protests, big protests, it turned out to, and for other reasons, but
right,
sparked a whole upheaval. It's sort of an example of how the university got itself hooked into, you know, being able to present itself as very liberal because it's getting scholarships to African Americans, which prior to that time, it was not that frequent a thing on state New York State University campuses, and so they made themselves look good. But then, you know, when it turned out, you're only good for being what'd you say, 4-year lifespan as a football player.
But I mean, if you're smart,
what are you supposed to do after that?
If you're smart and you sign a contract for 4 years and it's a big contract, that's all you need. I know, believe me, that is a small, small amount of people who are able to take care of themselves after 4 years. Some of them can't.
Right.
They got their money and they went and blew it on stupid shit, and now they don't have any money left and
they're
out of football.
Never had any money in your life and, you know, boom, never had to manage it at all.
No, No, there's sharks out there, but there's also the NFL is doing a pretty good job of bringing in former players, and especially in the training camps, and having them speak and talk about finances.
Yeah, and that's probably
Eddie George, actually a former football player for he was a Houston Oiler, and then when they transitioned to Tennessee, he became a football player for Tennessee. He professional. Eddie George was a phenomenal running back for more than 4 years, but he also thought it would be good to just kind of introduce what it is about finance that you need to think about while you're here now.
I wonder what the union must have been playing some role in trying to promote those kind of.
Oh, yeah, always. The union is very active in trying to help their fellow players. So
yeah, sounds good.
Hey, we're coming up on 8:30 here, John.
You ready to
let's end this real quick, but I will say one more thing.
Yeah.
That I thought was there's a couple of retired basketball players that do commentary on ESPN, and I think they were terrific because they said they think that Victor Wembanyama, who came over from the French League, who is, I think, 7'7" and can shoot a three-pointer and dribble the basketball like nobody's business. In fact, I saw Wembanyama drive down the court, and he took the ball and threw it basically between a guy's legs, grabbed the ball on the other side, picked it up with his left hand, and slam dunked it. I'm like, that's not fair.
It's not fair.
He's physically dominant. It's going to be exciting for who he's playing for. San Antonio Spurs are going to be really good this year watching him. The numbers are going to skyrocket. But his coach is just like so level-headed. He's like, just another player. He's like, keep it in perspective. We got five on the court at one time. We're going to see how he fits in.
All right.
So it's going to be exciting, though. I'm looking forward to it. By the way, Commanders fans, listen, we all feel the same way. We all thought because of the new ownership, we're going to get good right away. No. That's a lot of Snyderitis residue that you got to clean off this ball club.
Oh, I said Lerner before. I meant Snyder. Okay. I just wondered if Snyder. Yeah.
Oh, he's gone. He's out of there.
He didn't get a bunch of damage on his way out the door.
Oh, know? Probably. Yeah, sure. Yeah, he's that much of a prick. So
prick or something. Like that.
All right. Well, not the Lerners. The Lerners are great people, and we hope that they get their money to get us some good, solid free agents next year. All right. Thank you again. I want to thank EnlightenRadio.org. This is Michael Cucarini. This is John Case for the Sports and Comedy Attack, formerly known as the